My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Speaking of the Browns, former Cleveland Browns quarterback, local legend Brian Hoyer joins us right now on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing wonderful here. Did you hear a clip of Tua Tagovailoa talking about the differences between Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel? Did you hear this clip before?
You know what? It came across my social media feed, so I read a little bit of the article. I didn't hear the clip, but I read it, so I kind of know what you're talking about.
Okay, would you want us to play it for you? We could play it for you because I got questions about this. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah, play it. That way I know the whole context.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it. You hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
Audio courtesy of Metal Arc Media. So, Brian, we heard that, and it got us thinking about the way to coach not just quarterbacks, but kids in general. You've had some obviously iconic coaches, really, really good coaches that have done it in different ways. How do you feel about that when you hear Tua talk about the different styles of coaches that just coached him? Do you feel there is a right way and a wrong way?
I mean, look, I think there's more than one way to skin a cat. I played for Bill Belichick for a long time, and when you would mess up in practice the next day, he'd say he can go get the quarterback at Foxborough High to do a better job than you. So everybody's motivated differently, and everybody responds differently. And the one thing I noticed over a 15-year career is, you know, and I'm aging myself, and when I say I'm old, you know, older people say you're still young, but the newer generation of player, they want to know how much you care about them. They want to be built up. They want to be, that's how they've been, you know, brought up their whole life. If you're a stud athlete, you know, even when I was growing up, you know, yeah, people would pat you on the back, but it was like, okay, what else are you going to do? What are you going to do the next time? And so I think, you know, some of that older style of coaching, you know, doesn't always sit well with these younger generation of players. And obviously Flora B. Flow, you know, coached under Bill for a long time, and that's what he saw day in and day out. And it worked for a lot of guys that we played with. I think that was just, it added extra motivation. You're going to prove these guys wrong. And the one thing that I would always say when people ask me about Bill in New England, we had such a great culture of players that the players kind of, we built each other up. We didn't need the coaches to build us up. We kind of grouped together and we knew what we were all capable of. And so if you don't have that culture to begin with, and now the coach is breaking you down, you know, sometimes guys just can't handle it.
Is that the secret, Brian, of why it worked for Bill and it doesn't work for just about everybody in his tree when they become head coaches?
Yeah, I think it's so hard because that culture was so established and there were such great leaders on the player side. You know, when I got there, obviously Tom was there, but Matt Light, Kevin Falk, Teddy Bruschi, there was all these guys who had lived and been brought up and had success in this culture, and then everybody else kind of fell in line with those guys. And the players held the players accountable and the coaches just coached. And I think that's so hard to establish because you're never really establishing the continuity of the coaches and players. And, you know, and then I left, I came and played in Cleveland, played a few other places. I come back and those leaders are now replaced by guys that I was brought in with, you know, the Matt Slaters, the Julian Edelmans, the Dante Hightowers, the Devin McCourties. You know, so the Patriots for such a long time had such continuity that that leadership torch was passed down from generation to generation player. And I think that's why, coupled along with Bill's coaching, we had so much success.
Yeah, when you think about the coaches that you've been fortunate enough to work with, all the way dating back to high school, one of the great all-time high school coaches, not just in the area, but really the world, in Chuck Kyle. You had a few different coaches at Michigan State, but you know, D'Antonio was terrific. And then, my God, I mean, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, to Kyle Shanahan. What stands out? What does truly stand out about what is effective?
Yeah, I mean, all those guys, very different. I mean, Coach Kyle was a great leader, a great, he built you up, he taught you what to do, and then you went out and did it. And very rarely, I don't even remember him really yelling. And then, you know, I go to Michigan State, and Coach D'Antonio was a great coach for me because, you know, when you look at the two biggest influences in his career, it's Nick Saban and Jim Tressel. So I would say he was somewhere in between those guys. You know, Nick Saban, obviously big disciplinarian yeller who, you know, learned a lot from Bill. And so playing for Coach D'Antonio really prepared me to play for Bill because it just was a little bit more towards the Nick Saban side. And then, you know, I played for Kyle Shanahan, who obviously learned from his dad. And Kyle was calm, cool, collected, but he would let you know when you messed up. And then he'd be like, all right, come on, we got to move on to the next play. So I think you, as a player, you know, you can't rely on the coaches. I've always said this. The only thing I ever wanted from a coach was to give me a great game plan, tell me how to do it, and then, you know, help me go out and execute it. I don't need motivation from coaches. I didn't need, you know, to be built up or built, you know, brought down. I just wanted to be told, you know, here's the plays, this is how you do it, this is what the defense is doing, and now it's time to go out and execute it. And so that probably started at, you know, the high school level, having a great coach and Coach Kyle.
Brian Hoyer joining us, former Browns quarterback on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How important is it to play in the preseason for a quarterback?
Well, I think it all depends on, you know, what part of your career you're in. You know, for me as a young guy, undrafted, I needed to play as much as I could just to make the team. If you're an established veteran, I don't think you want to go into the regular season, you know, not having played real football since, you know, last February, January, December, whatever it might be. So you might want a few series just to get out there, execute the offense with new players. So I think it all depends on, you know, what part of the career you're in. You know, what's the situation? Do you have a new coach? Do you have, you know, new players that you want to really get some reps with? And I think the one thing that's really, you know, benefited a lot of, like, the veteran players is that you can do these joint practices. You know, I went the other day and watched the Eagles and Patriots have a joint practice. And, you know, the starters take most of the reps, especially for the quarterbacks, because that's like a game. You're going against the best, you know, the one defense, the one offense. You're doing that in an environment where you're really not in a threat of getting hurt. And so I think you'll see more and more of that with veteran guys is, you know, let's get a joint practice, really use that to our advantage to work some of the things that we wouldn't show in a preseason game anyway.
So one of the things we're grappling with here in Cleveland is a left tackle situation and then a quarterback who has not been in real gameplay since last November. So he's coming off surgery. Is it too much of a risk? Because Stefanski said he would play, but now given the left tackle situation, some are wondering if it would make sense.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just depends on like what Deshaun needs. You know, I mean, sometimes I remember I was coming off the ACL surgery, obviously, in Cleveland, and obviously there was a little bit of urgency with Johnny, you know, being behind me, and I wanted to play. I needed to get out there, and I remember getting hit for the first time and be like, got hit, checked the knee mentally, and I was like, okay, I'm good, I can play. And so there's a part of that too, is taking that hit, getting back up and running the next play, because as we all know, that's a huge part of playing quarterback. So, you know, in the same sense, you look at, you know, Minnesota, their first round pick, JJ McCarthy, goes out, plays in the preseason game, tears his meniscus. So I think there's always a little bit of hesitation, because if someone's going to get hurt, you want it to happen when it actually means something and not a meaningless game. So, you know, I don't know if the Browns have done any joint practices, but as a quarterback, that's just as good as a game in my book.
Oh, they did do a joint practice against the Vikings. So, because we've been having this kind of – brought Lima over to my side, because the Browns do not have their starting left tackle available, it seems, on Saturday, and they haven't since he got injured last regular season. And I said, you know, I'm not going to put him in there – because even the backups got hurt in Saturday's game, the preseason game against the Vikings. Both his backups got hurt in that game. And I'm like, I'm not going to put him in there with a guy off the street. But let me ask you, Brian Hoyer, you're the head coach. Say you're the head coach of the football team, 15-year NFL career, the whole deal. Deshaun Watson comes to you. I want to play on Saturday. What do you tell him?
Yeah, I'd say that's fine. I would just, if I'm the play caller, I'm coming up with plays that protects the left side of the line. Maybe it's a rollout to the right. Maybe you're chipping the defensive end. I think, you know, they're dealing with a similar situation here in New England. You know, who's going to be the left tackle? Who's going to be the right tackle? And the thing that I learned, we talked about all the coaches that I played for, there's really a lot of ways you can help a tackle. There's not so many ways you can help a center, a guard. But the tackles, I mean, I know in Cleveland we had such a great one for a long time, we didn't even have to worry about that. But, you know, I've played in a lot of schemes, a lot of teams that maybe we didn't have a top 10 tackle, but you figure out ways to protect the guy, whether that's chips, whether that's a line in the tight end and giving help. You know, so if Deshaun wants to play, I would say, great, we'll come up with a game plan for 10, 15 plays, you know, quick game. We're going to roll you out to the right. We're going to chip the left end. I think that's totally doable. If your quarterback needs those reps, then you figure out a way to protect that left side.
Brian Hoyer with us right now on the hotline. But you mentioned getting back out there in a real football feel. What is it taking that first hit? It's been a long time since Deshaun Watson has taken a hit. It's something fans certainly take for granted. But we've heard quarterbacks like Joe Burrow recently say, I got to get out there. I got to get hit. What does that truly feel like?
Well, I remember one time it was actually in practice. And of course, the quarterback's not supposed to get practice. But that year, coming off the ACL surgery, I think I got one of our linemen pushed back in and right on my right knee where I tore my ACL. And it's almost just the fear of, is it going to be okay? And you sit there on the ground, you do a self-check, get up, move around. You're like, okay, you know, the surgery worked. I've done the rehab. And, you know, playing football, that's the risk of playing football. You got to go out there and do it. And you just have to believe the process and know that you're ready to go. But I think that's a big thing because, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to go into that year not having been hit on that leg, not knowing. And then the first game comes around, you get hit, and you're questioning it in the middle of a game. So it's obviously you don't want to take a hit, but it's part of the process, and I think it's more mental than anything. It's not the physical part. It's the mental aspect of knowing, you know, I'm back. I had the surgery. I'm in, you know, the doctor said I'm good. I'm going to go out here and play and not worry about it.
Brian Hoyer with us on the show. How important is play calling for a quarterback?
Oh, it's huge. I think the one thing that I learned, and not until later in my career, was how involved you should be as a starting quarterback. And I don't mean that in the sense of sitting there and drawing up plays and telling the coordinator what to run, but just voicing your opinion on, you know, hey, I really like these five pass plays. I don't really like these two. You know, because early on, you're trying to just do whatever it is to, you know, at least for me, to keep a starting job or earn a starting job. So you just, yeah, I can do that. I can do anything you ask me to do. When in reality, there's certain plays that maybe just don't click. You know, it doesn't really look good in practice. You know, guys aren't really sure what they're doing. And so, you know, some of the best games that I ever played, you know, were up in Chicago where Dal Loggins was the offensive coordinator. He was my quarterback coach in Cleveland. And, you know, he sat me down. He said, look, I don't want to call any plays that you don't like. So come in, you know, we'll go over the game plan. We'll go through the week of practice. And anything you don't like, it's out. We're taking it out. And whether I like it or the quarterback coach likes it or the line coach likes it, ultimately the guy with the ball in his hand needs to like those plays. And that was something I really learned to advocate for yourself as a quarterback is you never want to be in a game. It's 3rd-and-8. And here comes it's the 4th third down of the game. And it's the fourth least, you know, play that you like, and it's the crucial part of the game, and you don't want to run that play. So that's happened to me, you know, several times, and I think as I learned throughout my career is, you know, be an advocate for yourself, and that's, like I said, not sitting there designing plays and say, here, run this. It's a collaboration with the offensive coordinator, and I think, you know, the best offensive coordinators usually do that.
How long does it take, Brian, to implement a totally new offense, which is what we are kind of told was happening with Ken Dorsey coming over from Buffalo and Van Pelt parting ways with the Browns? So how long does that take? Should we be concerned if by like week four it's not looking, you know, all that reasonably different?
I mean, it all depends. It's really, I know we talk about systems, and I've played in pretty much every one of them. Plays are plays. It's just, you know, it comes down to verbiage. It comes down to really pass protections are very different from scheme to scheme. You know, so sometimes it could take weeks. Sometimes it could take months. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how far away you're getting from what you did in the previous regime, I would say. I mean, like I said, if you go around and watch football, pretty much everybody's running the same plays, but it's how do you call it? Is there more verbiage? Is there less verbiage? What's the pass protection? How does that affect the communication on the offensive line? And so, you know, sometimes if you're going from one totally different pass protection to another, that's what usually takes the longest. In my opinion, what I've seen, usually the routes, the run game, those things usually come together pretty quick because a lot of that is football that you've been doing since you were in high school, college, any pro team, but the pass protections usually tend to vary pretty much the biggest as far as, you know, going from a scheme to a different scheme. Now, sometimes there's similarities and people pick it up a little bit quicker. So, you know, it just depends. And a lot of times how fast guys pick it up is how well are they doing as a unit as opposed to individuals.
What truly is the job of Jameis Winston as the backup quarterback? What are his responsibilities, and do you think he is the perfect guy to do just that this year for Deshaun Watson?
I mean, amazing pregame speeches would be number one, I would say. I mean, when has anyone ever watched Jameis give a pregame speech and not loved it? So I think having a guy who brings the energy, knows the role that he's in, and then also is ready to play at a moment's notice, I mean, those are kind of the three big things right there for a backup, especially a veteran backup, is, you know, be ready to play, help the team in any way you can. Obviously, you see, you know, the enthusiasm, and this guy knows he's not going to be the starter, so he just loves being out there, loves football. And then most importantly is, you know, be ready to go if something were to happen to Deshaun. I think those are the best things. So, in my opinion, you know, a guy like Jameis is a great option because he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of good football. He knows the role. He signed up. He knows he's not coming in there being like, I'm going to try to be the starter. I'm going to try to push, you know, these guys. I'm going to come in, support Deshaun, play well when I get the opportunity, and be enthusiastic about it.
Do pregame speeches work? Because I'm trying to find where Joe Banner kind of tweeted about it with Jameis Winston, and it didn't seem to get him. So in the NFL, do pregame speeches really work?
In my opinion, pregame speeches kind of go out the door once you leave college because we're grown men, and if you need a pregame speech to get ready to play at your job, I think that's kind of, you know. But I think it's all, you know, some people it works for. I've never really been one to either be motivated by them or give them or anything like that. But, you know, it's the one that I'll always remember was before the Super Bowl, we play in the Rams, and here's Tom Brady, who rarely ever – would give a pregame speech, but he got up there and he said, we win this game and your family is respected for all time. Your name is respected for all time because you're on a team that will go down in the history books that will never be forgotten. And that was one that really hit me because when you realize that, you know, only one team at the end of the year finishes their season on a good note and a happy note. And then it's then immortalized really, you know, they're not going to remember, you know, the team that lost in the AFC Championship game or, you basically, if you lose the AFC Championship game, you end the season the same way as the team that didn't even make the playoffs. And having, you know, lost two Super Bowls, I came to realize that. So that was one, and it really stuck with me, and it's probably the one I only remember from 15 years of playing.
Brian Hoyer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How do you like doing the preseason games over there in New England?
It's been fun. You know, the way that we did it here is a little bit different, having really four ex-players kind of, I think the model was to sit down and kind of imagine you're at the bar watching with us and try to just be as insightful as we could. get to break down a few plays and kind of educate the fans on, you know, what's going. We had a good one the other night with Drake May, had a big third down conversion that I kind of went through the whole read and showed his footwork. And so I think a different approach, and I think a lot of people had fun with it. Obviously, I played with the McCourty twins, and we have great relationships, so it was fun to be there with them. And I don't know how much you guys know about Scott Zolak, but he always keeps it entertaining up here and fun. And the guy played in the early 90s to mid-90s. I mean, this is a true throwback guy. So we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, he's. I've heard him. He's nuts, but in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Brian, thank you for stopping by. We appreciate your time, and hopefully we can get you again soon.
All right, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Brian Hoyer, former Browns quarterback on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He says, play him. Just moments ago on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, did he change your mind about Deshaun Watson on Saturday?
Well, he mentioned a lot of the stuff that we had debated, which was controlled, safe plays, rolling out, and, yeah, taking some hits. He talked about how important that is, especially coming off the surgery. How, you know, you'd think the opposite, right? Well, you don't want to take any hits, because he's saying, no, you got to take those hits, because you got to know, you got to have trust again that not only did the doctors do the right thing, that the surgery and the rehab, you know, went through the proper.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For stages, that it really builds confidence. Without that, if he doesn't play at all, he's going to be going out there, and if you don't think Micah Parsons and the rest of the Dallas Cowboys are going to be gunning for that, you know, surgically repaired shoulder, I mean, that's just how the league works.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no reprieve from that. So how will he be able to respond, you know, once he takes those hits, if it's a regular season game that it's the first time he takes those hits?
I'm surprised. I thought you would be turned over.
But it is.
I'm very surprised.
It's the exact same debate that Stefanski is having with the front office.
Well, because I keep having, you know, I always have to listen to the experience of people who have done it and I haven't. You know, if we were talking about space, I want to listen to astronauts. I want to hear what Buzz Aldrin has to say about the matter. If we're talking about football, you know, Tyvis Powell was on the station yesterday. He said, go ahead and let him play. We just had Brian Hoyer on, a guy who played the position. He said, go ahead and let him play. I got two guys who are in the, like, we might be switching positions here and not even know. I tend to go with the experts. Brian's been in the league for 15 years. He's technically still not retired. Boy, that's a hell of a long time to play professional football. Now, I know he hasn't always been a starter, but my God, that's a hell of a long time. I tend to start thinking maybe they're right and I'm wrong. And maybe he should just play on Saturday and let's see where it goes.
I know as much as
I'm living in my fears, I'll admit.
As much as you don't trust the left tackle situation.
I don't.
It's kind of as much as I actually trust Stefanski. And he's not dealing with a rookie. Like, Deshaun Watson is somebody that's been around a long time. So if we can't even trust Stefanski and Watson to come together to draw up reasonable plays where he's not being put in harm's way, but also having it feel like real football or the closest thing we're going to get outside of week one, I mean, that to me is the key here. Do you have trust in the organization and the coach and the quarterback?
216-474-0092. Did Brian Hoyer change your mind about playing Deshaun Watson? Did that affirm to you that, hey, we need to stop living in our fears and play Deshaun Watson? I got two former NFLers who were saying that, yeah, you should go ahead and let him play. Do I try to line up anymore? Do we have any more former NFL guys coming on the station by the end of the week here, Mitch? Off the top of our heads? Should we try to call up? I mean, Greco's in a meeting right now. I know that for a fact, so we can't call John up.
Good old-fashioned straw poll.
Of former NFL players? You want me to text Zasty, see what he says?
I bet you they'll say play. I think they know the risks of football in general, and they also know how important to them seasoning is.
I don't know how many former NFL players we have coming up, but I know we have a current NFL head coach who will be on the station this afternoon.
He will be on this afternoon,
well,
yes.
Well, maybe we should ask him.
All right, you know what? I put it in Zastadil's hands. I hope he's not in a meeting. We'll see. I just texted him. He doesn't even know.
Put it off his foot, but in his hands it's fine.
I'm going to ask Dave. We'll ask Diamond Dave and see what he says about it. If Diamond Dave says he's going to play, then I got three guys. I mean, that's what they do with when it comes to toothpaste. Three out of four doctors would say. Three out of four NFL players would say. And right now, I've only done three, and all three of them may say. So far, we've only done two, and two have said that he should play.
And
I'll
how
get a
many,
third one here.
How many of the starting offensive linemen? Refresh everybody. Make sure that they understand. How many starters on the offense in general were supposed to play against Seattle this week?
How many starters on the offense in general? I think just about all of them, right? Maybe not Joel.
And not Nick
probably
Chubb.
Probably Joel. If you got Deshaun Watson out there, you're going to put Joel Bitonio out there. Oh, obviously not. Nick Chubb was not going to play this week. Yeah, Nick Chubb was not going to play. He probably wouldn't have played anyway.
Right.
There would be no Nick Chubb. But I say, well, Amari Cooper got banged up a little bit in the joint practice. Would you play Amari Cooper? Now I'm going down the line.
How banged? Yeah, I mean, joint practice, banged up. Like, he's not on an injury report, right?
No. Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Would you play them both? Okay, so if you're playing the entire offense, then to hell with it. Would you? Okay, fine. Fine.
Just like that, it just took Brian Hoyer to come on and tell you?
Well, it takes. These are guys who played in the league. What did Dustin say yesterday? Did Dustin give? I didn't get to hear him yesterday on the issue. Did Dustin say to play him yesterday? Because if Dustin's a former NFLer, if he said to play him, then I can't go against the experts.
And they had Tyvis Powell
played the game.
And I believe he was coming from the mindset of it's helpful, it's beneficial to play.
Football players always want to play football.
They do. And you do want to save football players from themselves because oftentimes, didn't we see this from Deshaun Watson last year? He wanted to play. And Baker Mayfield.
He wanted to play against Indianapolis, and we thought it was a bad idea. And then when he wanted to play against Arizona, I really thought it was a bad idea. And then he went out there and he was fine.
We wondered how much money did Baker Mayfield at the time cost himself wanting to play, wanting to go out there, wanting to prove it. that he should be on the football field.
You know what? I think that I think my mind's changed. I think my mind's changing right now on the top of my head, like right here, right now. I think my mind is changing. 216-474-0092. Should Deshaun Watson play on Saturday now? Because you've had two NFLers say that he should play. I'm texting another former NFLer right now.
All right, we'll get a grip on this. We'll have a much better gauge on the feeling.
These guys are all in finance now, so I don't know if they're in a meeting right now or what.
Let me get one more for you. This is from the TV broadcast on Saturday. Aditi Kinkabwala talked to Deshaun Watson on the sideline.
Okay.
Let's hear that.
Yeah.
Really just getting back on the field. You know, it's been a long road of rehab and recovery for my shoulder. So I'm super excited to just go out there and just compete, get back in rhythm, just get the operation down, and just get ready for week one. So just go out there, play smart, have fun, try to score as many points as I can while I'm in there, and just enjoy it.
All right, since I've known you, you've always said that you want to play as much as you possibly can. But where does the lobbying stand with Kevin right now? How much will we get to see you play?
I'm not sure because I think it varies. I think the last few years that I think we asked that question, I was like, here, and it was less. So hopefully a quarter, and it might be even less than that. I'm not even sure.
Now I'm getting a text, unnamed former NFLer. I am not going to name names on this one. He doesn't want to be named. Says, yeah, go ahead and play him.
Why doesn't he want to be named?
Doesn't want to be named.
Oh, come on.
Name some names.
Yeah. He might have an affiliation in other realms.
Understood. Understood.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're right, though. It does make sense.
He's in another city, but whatever.
It does not surprise me at all that you would hear that from a lot of ex-players.
216-474-0092. Kevin and Westlake, very quickly, go right on ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. I'm Kevin Spencer, coaching the NFL for 26 years, and I live in Westlake. Been listening to your discussion about play or not play.
Should he play?
Absolutely. I think that what Brian Hoyer had to say was very apropos. You know, create a game plan that's going to protect him. I think he needs to go through the whole pregame ritual and the night before that he knows he's getting ready to play football. The first time that he goes through that is not Dallas. I think because even though it's a preseason game, it's still a game inside the white line where people are shooting live bullets. And I think he needs to practice going through that routine again. And then I think defend them, like a two-step drop, roll them, just hand the ball off, just get them to experience game day before Dallas. And I think it would then they can protect them, no RPOs, no quarterback runs, slide, do all that stuff. But I just think he needs to go through that experience. Don't just because he's a veteran doesn't mean that he has nervous feelings and a little anxiety. I mean, if you're not a little nervous and anxious, you're probably not going to play a hell of a game. And I think he needs to go through that, whether he's, Tom Brady or, a rookie in the NFL. So I think he definitely has to play to prepare himself as a professional what's coming down the road here in a couple of weeks.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. See, this is a former coach, Now I got four NFL guys that are in there. It's hard for me. But then again, I did go on TV and say he shouldn't play last night. It's much easier to flip-flop here than it is there. Can I go right back on TV tonight and say you should play?
Are you just flip-flopping every 5 hours?
No, I'm not trying to flip-flop. I'm trying to listen to the experts here. Of course, last time we listened to a bunch of experts, there was a lot of people who disagreed with that. Not one there. Mitch, please.
All right, guys. We have a clip going around from Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy in a press conference earlier this week. Gundy saying all the new noise of college football, NIL, transfer portal, players getting paid, saying enough of that, it's time for football.
That's what I told the players. There's no negotiating now. Portal's over. All negotiations history. Now we're playing football.
You can enjoy
just coaching and playing football.
Conference and a 12-team playoff and everything being so different, just the newness of it all.
Yeah, and, the business side of what we do now is we have to have those conversations with them. Tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. Start again in December. Now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun. Because there's been so much other stuff going on, it's been hard to really focus on football.
I agree with him.
Well, I don't understand how you could even have that be an issue throughout the season. And, we talk about, running a business, which is essentially what these guys are doing now.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, you shouldn't be fielding any of that at all. And if you have a problem with what you're getting paid, then who's going to be able to do it? Are they going to let you transfer mid college football season?
No.
No conferences are allowing that.
The man says some nutty things at times. There's some things I agree with and don't agree with, but that I agree with. There's teams that don't negotiate during the season. Then you don't have to negotiate during the season.
Right, you set those parameters. Yeah. You make it perfectly clear.
You made your deal. The deal's done. After the season, we could talk about getting a deal.
Now, in a way,
we're going to have hold-ins in college football. Oh, well, we are going to have hold-ins.
Anything you've seen in professional sports,
this is going to be fun.
Can't you envision it in college? And see, this is the other thing. Like, I appreciate the you-know-what on these players. Like, yeah, I just found out someone else is getting this somewhere else, so I'm gonna re-up and ask. I mean, you always get to ask for a raise, right? Like, you can ask for a raise anytime you want, and you know what your bosses can do with that information or with those requests.
They can say whatever to you about whatever. But I don't think it hurts, but I totally agree with him where it's like, you know what, there's a time for that. The time is now. Time is now to play football or playing football.
Here's the question. I got a good one for you.
What is that?
So everything we just said in the abstract makes sense. I think everybody would agree listening. It sounds ridiculous to do it. What happens if, say, I'm the back quarterback? Ohio State doesn't work because the backups are probably making some money. Give me a school where the backups... where you'd have the starter making real money and the backup making not much at all. Whatever that school would be.
Syracuse?
Okay, yeah. Kyle McCord's making money at Syracuse. Part of their collective. Yeah. For sure, okay? If I'm the backup and I'm making 30 grand, right?
All right.
But that starting quarterback in front of me goes down with an injury. Done for the year.
I know where this is going.
And let's say over the next 4 weeks... I am now being considered a Heisman Trophy candidate. They're talking about me.
The Johnny Moxon scenario.
What leverage do you have? What if you go behind the scenes and say, hey, you know what? I know what I'm worth. I know what that guy was making. And now I've got us in the national championship picture.
That is insane. That is insane.
What do you do?
Are you going to have a hold in while the football season
is going on? Cardale Jones.
Yeah, Cardale Jones. So late in the year, right?
Thank you very much. That's exactly what that was.
You imagine. No, you know what? I just helped put up what he put up 60-some points against Wisconsin or whatever in the Big Ten Championship.
Oh, my gosh.
Or 50-some points. Okay, I just did that, and now we are in the playoff. Well, you want me to show up in a month?
There's no way. There has to be some semblance of decency here.
I need a million. I need a million to play in those games.
No, then you have... Do they have contracts in NIL?
They say that they have... loosely structured contracts that may be binding.
Yeah, you're gonna threaten a hold-in.
I still just assume they got their money in a brown paper bag, and
that means
the Cardale example.
That's the fun way.
Listen, I remember the selection committee had said that they were judging Ohio State now based on this new world we were living in, where he was the quarterback. So what if then he turns around and say, "Hey, that new world that we're living in is me getting paid $1 million per playoff game. Let's go, Schottensteins. Let's go, Wolf family.
Man, I don't know if that's going to go. I think they just try to win with somebody else. There's always going to be a price. There's always going to be a price. Yes.
There's no way they wouldn't pony up. They have to pony up.
Well, it's at some places, yes, they might. But I don't like a place like Texas A&M. Those people are crazy. Somebody would come up with $1 million.
On the spot.
But a place like Ohio State.
How the oil derricks doing.
we'll get somebody else to play. Texas, they'd get somebody else to play. Because they already believe they're deep. There's depth in there. So you can win with a few guys. Now, I don't know if you're going to beat Georgia with some of those guys or whatever. I don't know if you're going to beat Texas with one of those guys at the very tippy top. But you're going to roll the dice because you ain't going to set some precedent and let some kid get $1 million a year for dollars per playoff game.
That's what they'd be nervous about for sure.
Yes.
Do you wonder, in these NIL deals, do they have incentives? Are they structured in to, hey, if you get to our new 12-team playoff, you will make so much money. If you get to
that's
the final
insane.
Four.
Yeah, that part there will
is
be.
Is that going to be part of it?
That will be part of it, yes. But I think they're going to really, this whole quote-unquote loose thing about contracts, they're going to tighten that up very quickly.
The other thing, this is the part we don't know. We might have to have a Dan Wetzel, or we might have to have somebody that would have a good understanding of this. How are they paying out these NIL deals? Are they per month? Are they per week?
I don't know.
Or are you getting a lump sum to start camp? How does this work, and what happens when you get injured, and all of a sudden one of the boosters at one of these schools in Texas is like, he's done. I'm not paying him.
How do you get a hard day's work out of a draft horse? Feed him just enough to know he's hungry. You can't give him all the lump sum in camp. They'll be gone.
But that's what I mean. What if the guy gets injured? You still on the hook? You still paying him?
Yeah.
See, the NCAA has not really – we talk about how toothless the NCAA is. I don't think we have a good understanding yet of these contracts, how ironclad they are, and if they're even signing contracts. I mean, I think some of these players have been lured to transfer to another school based on a promise, and then we find out later on that promise is non-binding at all, and then, oh, by the way, they've lost their starting job. They're not going to get that money. Like, it is the Wild Wild West still, and they are trying to figure that out. And I do think, to some extent, we've been asked, well, what's the problem with NIL? What's the big deal? Just let these boosters get burned. Yeah, but the players are going to get burned, too. So you kind of need to have more of a substantial, more thorough process in play, I think.
Boy, can we bring that to the podcast a little bit? Okay, I want to bring that to the podcast. I had to say this. Whose side is Mitch on tonight?
Which we call it the playoff series.
Third man in. It's a playoff series tonight.
Oh, my God.
Originally, it's a
Kenny,
playoff series.
He has both hats.
He's got both hats.
And where's the Pirates hat?
How can you have both hats?
I bought both hats, and I brought them here today.
Oh, I'll see you in hell. How could you?
So are you going to wear both tonight based on whoever? When Aaron Judge hits a home run, up, there goes my Guardians cap.
Swap them every inning. Top of the inning, bottom of the inning.
I'm supposed to speak words because it's a radio show.
Don't entertain this.
I don't.
Tomfoolery.
I don't want
no.
He was so excited to bring both these hats today.
No.
I had the Guardians one in front.
You're a horrible person.
You know what? He left and was halfway here.
You deserve every bit of shame that you get.
And he realized he had to go back and get the other hat.
There are people, like, you should have seen the nasty tweets I was getting about you last week.
Good. They're deserved.
He's a heat magnet, man. He is a heat magnet. This kid, I don't know about him. That look on his face, the way he carries himself.
Come on, Cleveland.
Say something, Mitch.
Attack the producer. Let's go, Cleveland.
Not physically.
No,
but
well.
Attack him.
Am I getting hate comments, really?
Yes, Mitch.
Yeah,
yes.
You deserve them.
Yes.
Nice.
What do you mean, yes?
I said nice.
All right, I'm going to put your
Turn
Twitter
off
out
your
there.
Mic, you'll never...
I'm going to put your Twitter out there.
Just not going to let him talk.
Let's see how you like it.
All right.
Oh, my God. I swear to God, guys, he's got both hats on.
Yeah.
Like in his head. Is he putting them both on?
And he's smiling. See, he has no stakes.
I
there are
the
no
Cleveland
stakes
one
for
on.
Mitch. This
Take
is why
off.
You
fails.
Are such a fake.
Take off the Cleveland
you
one. Put
are
on
such
the Yankees
a fake.
One. I don't want
I hope
you wearing the Cleveland
I
hat.
Hope you are single and lonely forever. I wouldn't. If I was a
I'm
father of a
it.
Daughter, there's not a chance in hell I could ever let my daughter trust you with this garbage.
I'm betting on it.
Back tomorrow, 6 to 10. We going around the AFC North?
We are.
You gonna wear all their hats too?
Maybe.
You turncoat.
Gotta run over to Lids.
Too much of the Lids.
You stop in Zoomies and Hot Topic on your way to.
Hot Topic, man. Spencer's. Got the fart machine.
Pick up an Annie Ann's pretzel.
Yeah. All right, we're back. Well, podcast. 10:15, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. 10:15, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. Have a wonderful day, friends. Go Guardians. Let's go.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.